We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Wow.
I love that song.
Yeah, it's a very, like, leader of the pack, 50s doo-wop. Right, Danzy?
Yeah, yeah. I tried to make it like that.
I mean, you did well. I mean, that is About You, Computer Magic, who is in studio today. Second time today. New project.
Yeah.
She was on before at Space.
Second time today?
Second time. Well, I live forever.
You're listening to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. We are back after a glorious week off. I am Terry Diabolik. Staring at me in a matching but different color sweater.
Weird. I didn't even see you get dressed today.
I mean, let's be honest. We've been wearing the same sort of... Our sweater fashion has been gravitating to a similar sort of position.
Yeah. So that is Danzy, who's now in Computer Magic. Is that just you, or is there like... I mean, there's multiple people who play live, but...
It's just me. I compose all the songs. And then live, I have a drummer, a bassist, and guitarist.
Amazing. So we're going to, in the second half of the show, we're going to talk more about that.
But as always, you are welcome to chime in.
yeah.
And I just want to say it's good to be back in the States. I just got back from Denmark last night. I was in our house with my friend Jenny, and then I was in Copenhagen to DJ. And then also...
I like how you say my friend.
It is my friend.
I wish I could go visit friends like that.
Yes. Well, it was very glorious. But I also got a chance to eat at a little restaurant unknown called Noma. And
yeah. How was it compared to the last time we ate?
Well, okay, just to give you an example, when Greg and I ate there in November 2008, when it was still, it was top 10, but it was like number 7, they had...
With a bullet.
They had 7 permanent chefs in the kitchen. Now they have 45.
Wow.
I could spend a whole show talking about it, and hopefully one day we will, but I'll put it this way, it's an experience. I mean, we were there for 5 hours.
How many courses?
Officially 7, but we had 20 different types of things to eat.
Wow.
I will say this, though, and the last thing before I move on. There's two options when you're there. One is your standard 7-course tasting, and the other is as many dishes as you can handle in 4 hours.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Which, for me, and like I was watching the pacing of other people, I was getting stressed out. Like, I mean, it was seriously a stressful thing. It's like...
Why? Because so many people were... like they were just trying to like savor it, but power through it so you could get more.
It was like you know when you go there 7 courses they'd let you sit. You know, they eventually had to kick us out of the place because they had to shut down stuff over for dinner. But with 20, it was just like dish goes down. They explain it. You eat dish. I mean, it was insane. It was totally insane.
Well, we will have to expand more on that. But today we have a very very. This is. I always love having cheese people in here because they always know how. They never know. They always know how to like. They don't know. Like, oh, I'll just bring a couple of cheeses to sample. They always bring, and we are literally staring at a beautiful spread.
And we are joined by Michelle Busser, yes. Forever Cheese, who met at the Eater Awards.
Yes. Yeah,
which
exactly.
Seems like. I mean, that's ages.
It does seem like
not
ages
as
ago.
Aged as his cheeses.
Hello.
I'm eating. It literally looks like peanut brittle, but you said it's a 4-year.
It's a 4-year aged artisan Parmigiano Reggiano made by a guy named Bonanti.
So just to give a little background on Michelle. Excuse me. There's so much delicious stuff. Roberta's usually hooks us up and I'm excited, but there's so much delicious food. Anyway, Michelle has been importing cheeses and everything else delicious for 15 years. You've been in Italy, Spain. We were talking about your time in Scandinavia and Sweden, Stockholm. And beyond that, though, you've actually been instrumental in shaping the cheeses, some of which I think sort of to your surprise or, you know, but are actually on the Roberta's menu.
Yeah, that was great.
So talk to us about how you were not just an importer, but a game changer.
Well, there's a lot of different things. It all started probably with our Pecorino Romano because my business partner's family makes Pecorino Romano in Rome. So it was pretty much our mission to explain that Pecorino Romano wasn't just this grating cheese, this crappy cheese that just had to be hidden. So we had to explain the difference of cheese made in Rome, which is that one there, which is yellow, which you don't recognize, maybe.
Why don't you cut me a slice over there?
Because Pecorino Romano is usually like really white and pasty.
And in powder form with a shaker on
exactly.
top, right?
Yeah. But this is bold, powerful, and has a lot of flavors. But once we were successful with that, I went in search of some things in Spain. So Drunken Goat was kind of like an accident name of a product that I found shortly after Steve Jenkins' book came out and said, I love this cheese, but you can't get it here. And I'm like, guess what? It's here. Or Marcona almonds. Mm. Or that was kind of like my passion of looking, how do you call these almonds for 10 years when I lived in Spain? And then finally learned on
a trip.
Are
you the reason Marcona almonds are in America?
I wasn't the first one to bring them because I found them like tucked away on the shelf. But I was the first one to say, I want to import them, teach people that they're called Marconas and bring them in their oil and their salt and then kind of working with people, who, you know, retailers and different things who believed in me. Yeah, it's pretty much my passion for that nut.
There has not been one bad cheese on this table that I've
brought all my favorites for
you. Rightly so.
It's just like anything. It's like food and music. It's like, oh, let me play this one more track. Okay, one more track. And it's like, well, I got to bring this cheese, but they won't understand the whole concept if I don't bring that cheese.
So we had D'Artagnan in a while back, and she talked about the education process. And I feel like cheese is the thing. Like, yes, I like cheese. You know, we grew up eating Munster cheese. We grew up eating provolone, which is fine kid cheese. But I recently went back and tried to eat a slice of Munster, and it was like one of the worst things I ate.
The worst?
Not one of the worst, but it was like salty and not much of anything. So how... in your process, have you been able to like educate people to try things that are stinky or hard or like non, you know, what's the starting point?
Well, for me, it's basically been that I didn't start in cheese because I was passionate about cheese. Mm-hmm. I kind of tripped over it, fell in love with my business partner, and it was all about his family's cheeses. And then he taught me cheese, so I learned that when I lived in Spain, I loved Manchego. Mm-hmm. And when I lived in Rome, I loved the sheep's milk cheeses. And I didn't even like a goat cheese when I started. So I just took me as a model. And the line of products has grown based on mine and my partner's, you know, flavor profiles. But I can stand up and I do a lot of classes and I'm not afraid to say, hey, I didn't like goat cheese when I started. My first goat cheese I liked was Drunken Goat. Here's a flavor profile different right. than what you find in the country.
Right.
And just build and build people's confidence based on that. And there's something for everybody out there.
What do you find people, like, what cheese do you present that people are most adverse to at first, but they end up kind of falling in love with?
Just by name or reputation?
One, Pecorino Romano.
Really?
It took me 3 years of demoing day and night and living and breathing it that people were scared because they said it's a block of salt.
I will tell our listeners, this is not yet.
Come on. No.
Not this one. But it's really different. And 98.9% of Pecorino Romano is made in Rome. So
would you put this on pasta and pizza in the way that you would the normal stuff that they cart out?
I would, but I think that because of the butter fat, mm-hmm. so you can shave it, you can shred mm-hmm. it, it won't disappear in food.
Mm.
But I'm not your normal person, right. so I like to eat everything separate, so I just sit and I eat that. And I just eat it by the chunk.
Yeah, I could. It's dangerous. A cheese chunk is not so much a challenge of how much am I going to eat, it's how much I'm going to leave.
But even with things like goat cheese, there's mm-hmm. a lot of people out there scared of goat cheese. And right. I was too, because my initial idea of goat cheese was the white stuff. And it was really woody and really strong. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, when I do classes, I characterize it as like licking the underbelly of a goat.
Right.
So it could be really aggressive. So there's a lot of people out there who are very afraid of it.
Yeah.
I'm encouraging Danzy to get in.
One of the things
she's staring. Come on.
So one of the things that they, you know, that they had on the table at Noma was goat's butter, which I'd never had before. And when you get more to Europe, you get things like that, there's a more acceptance of not just milk from
a cow.
And now I would say goat cheese is goat cheese is not even a blink anymore. Like, you know, you can go to like your toss and mixed salad places and you can see goat cheese and things like that.
But it was the aged goat that a lot of people didn't know about. And that was where I started with things like the Drunken Goat or this Vare. This was like the exalted and couldn't get it for the last 5 years after we made it a cult cheese. So aged goat cheeses, when I started back in the early 90s, were less the norm. And that's what's grown so much. In fact, if you look in Italy, mm-hmm. until like 4 years ago, they really weren't producing aged goat.
Wow.
Vare has the longest finish of any goat cheese I've ever found.
Talk to us quickly about the aging and different types of cheese. I know there's like a fresh cheese and an aged cheese. Is there a set year like in wine where you can call something like an aged cheese? What's the process there?
Very quickly? No.
I mean, not quickly, but you know. The important bullet points.
I would go by just, you know, semi-soft.
Yeah, right.
You know, by going by the texture and by feeling it, pretty much. Because anything is aged if it's over, I'd say, like 25 or 30 days.
Oh, it's that short?
In a way. But it's your perceptive. Then you have to break down by cheese. So right. Manchego up to like about 3 month cheese is semi-curado. So that's young, medium aged.
Yeah.
Curado would be around anywhere between 4 to 6 or 4 to 8 months. And then you have viejo, which is old means, but it's kind of like for 1 year cheese. And then you have añejo, which is 1 year or greater. And you have the same sort of things in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Stravecchio, greater than 1 year. Vecchio, 1 year. Mezzano, medium aged. And that mezzano can go from like 4 months to 8 or 9 months. And then you might have like in an Asiago where they'll call it fresco, or pressato, which is in the young. But it pretty much depends if you have a DOP, a denomination of origin cheese, or a specific category versus just feeling if it's young or aged.
Oh, right. That's right. Cheese gets complicated.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things we were doing some research and you talked about removing barriers and certification. I would never think outside of normal food laws, you know, getting it out there, but like what type of barriers would you find bringing things into the United States?
What have you done to help make things easier?
That's pretty much in Spain. Pretty much we started with Italy,
mm-hmm.
and there you didn't need any specific certificates of origin or to show to the government in Italy before you sent them to the States, because the States didn't require that unless if it's like liquid cheese. Somehow along the way in Spain, they got confused and they started requiring all the different producers to produce to get a local vet to sign off on their cheese. And then they had to fill out another form in Madrid before shipping their cheese. So a lot of people had to pay for this. They had to wait for the vet to come, and the vet was only like one per versus every X. So if the guy was on vacation or there was none, they couldn't sell us cheese. So I just started going to the top and going to Madrid and saying, hey, our government doesn't require this. Why do you need it? And I got involved a lot of the people who help promote products in Spain and the different regions. And much to my amazement, it took about a year, but we worked together to show that the U.S. didn't require these laws. And so it made it more accessible for all the producers, and especially the small guys. But even anybody who had to do things, they were spending a lot of money uselessly, and we'd miss getting product here to take care of people because they didn't have paperwork.
Right.
That's amazing. We're going to take a pause right now. We're going to play a song.
Yeah, I got...
I got to think about what you just said, because that's very impressive.
But so we're going to come back.
You can shake your head.
No. I'm in amazement too. Honestly.
To go to those lengths for cheese.
But it's not.
But hold on a second.
It's
now
a way of life.
It's a way of life. So we're going to play a song.
Yeah.
We're going to come back and we're gonna have the second part of this thing. By the way, everything here is. What's the creamy one with the spoon that I. On the end that I.
Tortilla Serena.
Man.
That's so good. You know, one of. I just brought you the top. Of the top.
I mean, yeah.
You haven't.
You must have heard about our refined taste. You brought us a block of Munster.
What do you think of the Pashkisir?
Fantastic.
We have to talk about that one there. Croatian.
We're going to talk about it back. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to you actually more about the physical business of Forever Cheese.
Okay.
Things like that. So, Snacky Tunes. Big shout out to Jack Inslee. Big shout out to everyone. It's so good to be back. This is a track I never heard before. I picked it up this past week. It's Ghost Rider by RJD2. You're listening to it on Snacky Tunes on heritagenetwork.com.
I think I just heard.
Thank you.
I take it back. Greg, you are right. That was a song that you had played for me years ago. That's why I like it so much. I'm hitting a bit of a cheese coma.
I'm pushing through.
Yeah, we're here with Michelle Buster from Forever Cheese. And I'm sorry. There's so much flavor going on in this booth right now. So Michelle,
she just pulled out hand-dipped chocolate figs.
I can't believe you went for that right in the middle of all this other stuff.
I'm gonna mix it up. I don't care. I'm gonna throw my tongue all over the map.
Oh God.
Valentine's Day.
For Valentine's Day, never forget to throw his tongue all over the map. So Michelle, let's talk to you right now about the actual business. Forever Cheese, been around for 10 years with you and your partner, and what we didn't realize is how important it was in the game of almonds, cheese, meats, and things like that. So talk to us about the business and the watershed, you know, a couple of, again, the cliff notes, the watershed moments when you go, hey, we're not just doing this to get this guy's family recipe into America. This is actually something real.
Well, it always...
Or had it always been real for you?
It had. I mean, it started out as a mission to make Pecorino Romano from Rome known and to save something that was just being absorbed into Sardinia and to see the vision of Pierluigi's family in sure wanting their cheeses in the right places. And honestly, Pierluigi saw early on that the future wasn't in the ethnic markets but in the gourmet markets. Then it was me who said, okay, you teach me cheese, I'll help you put your family's cheese there. But I love Spain, and I want to represent Spain, and I want to be able to go back to Spain. So if we are successful, you got to let me go. And that's kind of when we were still another company, Cini Fulvi, then. And we formed a company called Forever Cheese once we looked around and saw that we weren't just Italian there, and we had all these different cheeses. And at some point, Spain became really important to what we were doing. And it became the leader, and it really wasn't, because whereas we have amazing Italian products, Spain had been untapped. And once I got to Spain, and I found not my Manchego first, but I found the Queso de Murcia al Vino, which became Drunken Goat, just so people could pronounce it. I basically just brainstormed that on the Stairmaster one night. One morning, I have to say. And
morning after?
After licking the wine off of it. Then it just became about finding things that were so true to the countries we worked with, which up until this year was only Italy, Spain, and Portugal, mm-hmm. and bringing those key items. But I had to be passionate, the Marcona almonds. Or finally, after all these years, I kept telling people, why don't you make Marcona almond butter? Mm-hmm. And then I just called up the guy and said, you need to make this for me. And he said, we don't have this in Spain. I said, that's okay.
Yeah. That's fine.
And he made it.
And it's wonderful.
It's really interesting to look at the trends of Spanish food. I mean, it was, I don't know if it's coincidence, and I'm sure it wasn't, but, you know, Spanish cuisine, you know, el bulli, all things like that, really did hit the map in the last 10 years. I mean, it really exploded in the way that Spanish cuisine was considered, you know, one of the hottest, untapped approaches to food.
We were fortunate. I mean, we started before then.
Come
we
on,
were
you
fortunate
insight.
That, didn't
Come on.
It? Sorry?
Insight.
No, I still have never gone.
You've never been to Spain?
No, I've never gone to el bulli.
Oh, well.
But, no. Spain, you know, at least to... 3 times a year, otherwise I suffer withdrawal. And then those meats that you were gobbling up there?
Yes.
That took that company 7 years and me 5 years of persistence to bring in Iberico pork, there's only two companies who can do that in this country, but this is pure breed. That's 100% pure breed. You can call something Iberico if it's 50% breed, but they only raise full purebred.
This comes from Spain or it's in the States?
It comes from Spain.
Right.
I import it from Spain.
What made it so difficult to get it? What took a combined 12 years?
No, it was total in the five of the seven in there. Well, meats in this country are very difficult. They're still true Italian salamis are few and far between because the government is very worried about different... sicknesses and illnesses that the animals may have that'll contaminate people. And especially if it's not these are loins that you have. I'm still not able to bring in the salchichon and the chorizo, which is a chopped meat a salami is, because of the sicknesses and illnesses. So they're very, very, very careful, and you have to jump through a million hoops.
Is that real? Is that concern? I mean, I know the concern is real, but is there an actual possibility of that happening?
Yes.
Okay. I never knew.
Yes, but I mean, it's still very difficult because even with showing all the different tests, with my producer showing that there's no problem, no problem, there unfortunately were some challenges last year with some other people. Mm-hmm. So they're very, very, very cautious.
So you're an importer from these different countries and a lot of things come through you. Where does your product go out to? It passes through you and it goes to where?
We sell mainly to distributors. Mm-hmm. We also sell to some gourmet markets, as in Whole Foods and Wegmans and Bristol Farms and different things. And we service directly in Manhattan here to the major people. But we set ourselves up to work locally, so we have distributors in every state, so then can take care of the restaurants and the stores and properly service, because we're all about the product itself, but the quality of the product. And if we don't think we can do it, then we don't do it.
Any stories of things that you really wanted to make happen and that just didn't happen for that very reason?
Not really, not yet, because we didn't. We waited till we wouldn't do Taleggio till we knew we could do it right, because we would see it not looking so happy in a lot of people's cases, and we said we don't want it to look like that. This cheese here, mm-hmm. this La Serena,
yeah.
I was terrified to handle that cheese. I thought I was worried I was going to kill it,
mm-hmm.
and when I called the producer, because I was sitting at lunch one day and after tasting 50 different tortas at a trade show and hating them all, and then I tasted this guy's and I said, oh my god, this is great. I said, can I have your phone number? And I called up Juan and I said, Juan, what do you think about selling cheese to the States? And his answer was, I'm scared. My answer was, so am I, so let's try. And that was 8 years ago.
So what's the future hold for you and for Everett Cheese? What is a What's on the list? What's new to the States?
Croatia.
Croatia.
4 years ago, I went to Croatia on vacation, and a friend said...
The islands, go sailing, things like that?
I just wanted to see it all. I did mm-hmm. it top to bottom, the entire coast. Mm-hmm. But this friend who was supposed to show me around said, meet me on the island of Pog. They make cheese there.
Mm-hmm.
So I met him, and it was a pretty funny story because we kept looking for each other, not finding it, but he didn't tell me there were two different towns. So I waited for him in one town, and he was in the other town until we finally figured it out. Mm. But this island has 40,000 sheep.
Wow. How big of an island?
I don't know the superficie. I do have things in sheep and in other stuff.
okay.
The important thing was that like they made this amazing cheese, and each sheep is only produces a liter of milk a day, and all their production is sold all the year. So it's really hard to get it, and it's really hard to find anyone who says yes. It took me 4 years to finally work through, go back, go through the language barrier, and find a producer who would work with me. Although last year he said no, he took my order and never shipped. And finally this year, once he invited me to lunch, I knew I was getting cheese.
Right.
So this cheese that you're having is 19 sheep for that wheel of cheese for how little that they do.
What is that? Hold on, let me see. Oh, you took out the...
We'll
do a size. So Croatia, is that the next... And then what can...
I didn't do it for being the next frontier as much as I loved the cheese and I loved the place, so I did there. The things will be... My project for the next plus years will be explaining Iberico meats and the black pig and why it's different and why, with this amazing flavor, it also comes with quite an elevated cost. And explaining, you know, that in the free range and the differences in there so that people are more educated about it. We have seen that the category of nuts continues to grow because it's healthy for you, because skin's on, because of this and whatever. So like you saw the Sicilian pizzutas that are there, or the different types of the nuts that I've been doing from Spain with the blend of the Marconas and their Lequitas. We feel our way to what it is. We have this producer in Italy who made a bloomy rind sheep cheese, and it's amazing. It was sold out. It's being unloaded today, so I couldn't bring it to you.
And then I guess just to wrap it up, are there certain cheeses where if I'm not there the day it comes into your store, I don't have a chance of getting?
Well, I don't have a store. We have a warehouse there.
That's what I mean. Like, if it comes into the warehouse.
There are certain things that we do that are on pre-order mm-hmm. because they're that artisan or they're that perishable, and you have to tell me in advance that you want it, so we'll save it. There are some things that come in and just go out, and they're gone in a second, or that are only available for X number of months, and that might depend on if the way the producer works, you know, the goats are giving birth, or there's a myriad of reasons.
Yeah.
Usually in goat. But for the most part, we stock things here. So that's our biggest asset. That and the fact most people know us because we work directly with all of our producers.
Right.
That's a huge thing for people, knowing that I talk to them, know them on a name basis. We go out partying together, or they come and they stay in my house, or whatever might happen. I sent one up as an au pair in Colorado so she could learn her English better. All the different things that make us very different and unique. And
awesome. Well, Michelle, we cannot thank you enough for the cheese, the almonds, the figs, the nap that I'll be taking after in your honor. And the website is...
Forevercheese.com.
Forevercheese.com.
Very simple.
Forever young. Forever cheese.
Thank you. Hopefully you'll be sticking around for...
Yeah, stick around. We got tons of pizza coming in. We got Danzy from Computer Magic coming up. This is great. Honestly, this is awesome. And again, it's going to be how much restraint I have in the next... like half an hour. I see it all.
The piedras, coco dusted.
I know.
Oh, I did not get those. I know. I'm going for it.
You know, coming back from vacation, I was like, oh well, you know, this is. I go back to the gym and all, you know, stuff. I'm just shoveling delicious stuff in my. Oh my god, it's great. All right,
thank
so listen.
Thank you so much for
Michelle,
having me.
Thank you so much. It's forevercheese.com is the website. We have a new...
Are those chocolate-dipped almonds?
They're cocoa-dusted chocolate-dipped almonds. They're larguetas, which are another Spanish varietal.
Mm.
But just to tell you, they're like... That's three brothers from Aragon, Spain, who do the chocolate, and four brothers who do the figs. And then I put them both together to make the project.
That idea in itself is
I'm not the first to do chocolate figs, but...
finding a great source of one product... another sourcer of another product, and then bringing them together. I feel like most suppliers will just be like, what do you have? And leave it there, as opposed to, I think this would be great, and then finding the different sources. But then giving them own, and it's not, it doesn't say forever cheese figs. It's a whole other thing, and that's what's really special about it.
Well,
this.
Michelle, I can say right now, this will not be the last time we have you on our show.
That is awesome. Absolutely true.
That is absolutely true. We will have you back, and honestly, people, if you are a fan of just good food. If I showed up and this was a spread at a dinner party, I would say I don't even care about the main. Oh, great! You made beef bourguignon. That's fantastic. I was like, I remember the cheeses. Listen, so this next track is the new Adele "Rolling in the Deep" song. It's you can hear it, the original, on the I Am 4 trailer.
Yes.
Yeah, but this is the Jamie XX version, and this is a rip. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I just found a rip, and I got it because I love the song so much.
And then up next, we have Computer Magic, aka Danzy, talking about a new project, and then doing a little DJ set.
Yeah.
All right, here you go. Let's see Snacky Tunes.
Here you go, Snacky Tunes, live on HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out and I'll lay your ship bare. See, I'll leave with every piece of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. The scars of your love remind me of us. They keep me thinking that we almost had it all. The scars of your love, they leave me breathless. I can't help feeling
we could have had it all. You have my heart and soul. Had it all. You have my heart and soul. We could have had it.
But I've heard one on you, and I'm gonna make your head burn. Think of me in the depths of your despair. Make a home down there, as mine sure won't be shared. Thank you.
You know, I really love that remix because it's kind of like back in 2005 or 6 when like an indie rock remix would get played everywhere. And I feel those are a little bit more few and far between. We're talking XX and Adele. That's fine. It's still few and far between. No, it's really good. I think that song is only going to get bigger. So in studio today, as teased before, Hello. We have Danzy from Computer Magic. Welcome back to Snacky Tunes.
Hello.
If you remember, we had Danzy on with Max and the Space Base crew. And that has now kind of been put on the back burner. Max is in a band. And Danzy left, went to Florida.
Yeah.
Started writing Computer Magic songs. And
you were in Florida?
I went to Florida for like 6 months or something. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I missed you.
We stayed in touch, and she told me she started writing Computer Magic stuff, and then I saw you back when you played a bunch of CMJ shows, and then I was just listening to your SoundCloud, and it's fantastic. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm flattered. So, I'm glad you like it.
How did Computer Magic come about?
It was kind of just me in Florida, really bored. And wanting to see if I knew how to make music.
What part of Florida?
Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, I mean, and I didn't really have a car or any means of transportation, so I kind of just stayed home a lot and just literally made music every day. And I didn't even realize that I knew how to make it. And it just,
Do you have background in instruments, or was this just...
No, when I was in elementary school, I played the clarinet, and that's it so the answer, for like a year.
Okay,
so the answer, really no. So the answer is a resounding yes, then.
Little bit. I don't know how to, when I play on the keyboard, I don't know...
The notes.
What notes I'm playing.
Right.
It's all by ear.
Right. So... Everything that's up on your SoundCloud you said before was essentially just demos, but you said you have an EP coming out.
Yeah.
So how did you, and you said there's live instrumentation on it, so you just would write the electronic parts and then what would happen next?
Yeah, the new EP coming out has a live bass on it. Everything that I wrote, there's just live bass on it now and live guitar on it and live drumming, but it's all what I had written out.
So it's like instrumentation of like what you already had sketched.
Yeah, what I already had. And it's the producer did a really good job. And
I'm curious about this because there's just so many different ways to make music, and I always love hearing about the different, like, everyone. You know, it's great. I like that you're just like, I wanted to do it. I wanted to see if I could do it, so I did it.
I wasn't doing it with the intent.
Right.
For people to like. I didn't even know that people would like it.
Tried it. Which I always find is like the best approach whenever people, you know, like, oh, how do you do these things? It's like, well, you kind of start doing it.
Yeah.
And then you figure it out. You don't like wait until everything is perfectly in place because you'll never get started.
Yeah. No, you'll never get started. And also just, it's got to, I mean, what we're talking about earlier in the show, you just got to trust your instincts. I mean, that's why people like artists and things like that, or people like tastemakers, because you're finding something inside of you and it's very personal, and then you're being like, I think the world will like this.
I hope that people like it.
So who did the live instrumentation? You sent it out, or you have friends play on it?
My friend James Morley plays guitar. My friend Justin Coles plays bass. And my friend Chris Egan plays drums, but he's not on the live recordings that we just did. He just started playing live like a month ago or something. We recorded 4 songs in September that'll be on the EP.
What's the name of the EP? Who's it coming out on?
White Iris or Black Iris. It's Black Iris, but they just started another label called White Iris.
Mm-hmm.
But the Black Iris guys produced the Best Coast record.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Our favorite
like,
our
Fool's
friends.
Gold and like yeah. the band Fool's Gold.
They were on the show before.
Love those
oh,
guys.
Really?
Yeah, they're really, really awesome.
Lewis.
Oh, he was the one who was on the show.
He produced the Computer Magic.
What a small world.
Oh, yeah.
What a small radio shipping container. Anyway.
So can we talk to you quickly about your influences? So the About You definitely has that like 50s. I mean, that's a classic song structure of like a very slow to like this like powerful orchestrated thing. It popped up in disco. And things like that, and now you're applying it to your music. what made you, what drew you to that structure, and then also what other influences can we expect to hear from your music?
Well, with a lot of my songs, sometimes when I start to make them, I just want to see if I can make a certain kind of song. And I started reading up, Phil Spector.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Phil Spector. I mean, yeah.
He created this thing called the Wall of Sound. And I wanted to just try to do that with the instruments I had on my computer. So I just basically...
That's really interesting. So you tried to make an electronic... Because based it on like just the sheer number of instruments in the room. And you're trying to do it...
I'm trying to recreate...
On a laptop.
I have a... I use a lot of sounds from this plugin called the Emtron. It's samples from a Mellotron, so it's all like flutes and violins, and I just put like a lot of reverb on it, just tried to make it sound really big, even though it's not really real like live instruments.
I mean, the thing about you is that it swells at the end,
I mean,
which is great.
That's definitely raw, you know. Ronettes. I mean, that's definitely like, that is Phil Spector right there. I mean, that's that when I was into it, that was a good.
So why don't we get you doing your DJ set?
Let's get you on the ones and the twos.
Okay.
What or the people, zeros and the ones.
What can people expect in this DJ set?
Well, I'm going to play a few Computer Magic songs and I guess just some of my influences. They kind of range a lot.
Okay, so. Great. Yeah. So you're listening to,
Go over there.
This is what we like to call the talk over while we talk over.
I thought it was the walk over.
I don't know. I guess we don't really have an official name for it. So as Danzy gets set up, you're listening to Snacky Tunes. We're your host, Finger on the Pulse.
And if you want to hear Danzy and Space Base Guys, you can listen to our podcast, which you can find on iTunes. The gifts,
Michelle, I might lose my.
She keeps. She has this magical bag of cheese. Hold on. What is this?
It's a chocolate covered orange slice.
All right. Okay. All right. Fine. Hey. Why not? Listen. Yeah. There's this magical bag and cheese and meats and almonds coming out of it, and we're about to get into the future with Danzy and Computer Magic. Danzy, you ready?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Here we go. We got a live Computer Magic set coming at you on Snacky Tunes, HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Shout out to everybody. Take it away.
hotter than matter. They can't lose with animal accuracy. Show us this special. Special.
All right. I have dairy-induced cataracts right now. I can't see anything. I just see rinds of cheese. And while I sit here in my perpetual cheese darkness.
Dan's, I got to say it. It's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
It's really good.
Man. Thanks.
Your voice, damn it. And I love how you're just like, I'm going to try. And then what's come out of you. I don't know if anyone, but Danzy, you are a sort of a pixie-esque, sort of small little package. And there's a lot coming out of you, and it's fantastic.
You know, and a lot of bands, they do media training. They'll be like, you know, we just kind of got together in like the garage and like tried. And you're like, no, that's not true. That's not all happened. But, you know, Tampa, Florida will breed. Can I ask,
what were you doing in Tampa?
I just needed to take some time off from New York. DJing and stuff.
And how? But I mean, why Tampa?
My mom lives there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You weren't just like, not specifically. It was like dart to a map of America.
Yeah, I just stayed with my mom for like a little while. A
lot of cooking? Any cooking?
Yeah, it was really good, actually. I was cooked for like every day. It was really awesome.
What's mom's specialty?
I don't know. Burgers, I guess. Like, we went out to eat a lot too.
Good cuisine in Tampa. A lot of Outback Steakhouse, Chili's.
A lot of chain restaurants, yeah.
Gotcha. So
Macaroni Grill.
Are you playing? So now the EP is coming out in mid March.
Yeah, March 15th.
And are you playing any shows in New York anytime soon?
We'll probably have a show before that week in March. Before
everyone hits South By.
Before South By.
Are you doing South By?
Yes.
Any shows lined up for South By?
There is a show. It's for Black Iris or the White Iris Showcase, and I'm almost certain it's on Friday.
Awesome. Daytime. Yeah. You know what? We'll get there. If I wanted to find out MySpace, Twitter,
yeah,
Facebook.
I don't know the time or anything yet. I just know it's on Friday.
No, what are your nuts and bolts of MySpace, Twitter, Facebook?
Oh.
How do I find you online?
Oh, just type in Computer Magic. And also on thecomputermagic.com. But it comes right up, yeah.
Is Computer Magic, if I type it in, are you the first return on Google?
Yeah.
Huh. Dan's, for all of you that don't know, has a blog, zdans.com.
Yeah, yeah.
And we met when she was a vice intern.
Yeah.
And had, like, the biggest hair. No joke. Like, it's like bird's nest of hair. And I was like, who has hair like that? And I feel like I should know them. And then we became friends. And her blog is great as well. So,
and that's
Z-D-A-N-Z.
Yeah.
.com. So if you get... And you still actively post on that.
Yeah. Ish? I've kind of gotten lazy recently and just post weird YouTube videos.
Well, then the best way to say it is that there's a treasure trove, if you've never been there, of untapped songs.
It really is.
Dan's, thanks for coming on. I'm really excited.
No problem.
I would love to... figure out a way to get you guys in here and play some type of live situation.
Yeah,
but maybe
we'll get you in. We'll let you figure it out.
Yeah,
we'll let you we'll let you that incubation period that we always talk about. That's so important.
Okay, great. So what's the last song?
No.
We talk about it.
Okay, fine. And Michelle, thank you,
Michelle. Hands down, and I know I said this off mic, but I will say this is by far one of our favorite food guests. Not because you fed us, because what you have done is pretty inspiring, and it's awesome to have you in here.
Thank you very much for having me.
We brought you in for the cheese, and literally, there's so much more. I think we could have done
the Passion
2 hours.
Of the Cheese, right? Is that movie's coming out,
Darren?
No.
Anyway, so thanks for tuning in. Next week we have Baths in studio,
and Alan, whose last name escapes me, who's writing a comprehensive book on food television.
Oh, that's not, I would listen to that.
Yeah, I would, and if you have enjoyed this show or any other show, please check out our podcast. Just type in Snacky on iTunes, and you can subscribe to everything for free. And is it next week our big announcement?
And a couple weeks.
Couple weeks.
So, Dan, what's the what you got coming up? What's the last song we're going to play us out with?
The last song is a Computer Magic song called Grand Junction.
Fantastic. And really, I can't stress enough, go to her SoundCloud and just press play and listen through all of it. It's a solid like hour of... just hanging out, doing work.
And we will be berating you enough till you send us an advanced copy of that EP.
All right.
So thank you so much. Never forget. Good to be back. Looking forward to doing a few more shows with you this month. We'll be back next week with absolutely no tips on Valentine's Day. I can guarantee you that.
It's Valentine's Day next week. Well, you know.
Here's my tip. Don't go out to eat on Valentine's Day. Period.
Yeah.
Don't even go out this weekend.
Like, just,
does it extend? Yeah. Does it extend to this weekend?
It's New York. It's all holidays are like the weekend before. Don't go out to eat. Go get some of these cheeses. Go get some of that.
No, but you can't. You gotta find a local party.
Fine, that's fine. Go get some of that that almond butter and make your own memories. Right? Am I right?
It's oro líquido.
Oro líquido. Yeah, leak it up. Exactly. Thank you to Jack Inslee. Thank you to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Terry Diabolik.
Did you ever forget Computer Magic? Take it away.